Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, is author of our Book of the Month for November, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life. Nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. We can be like they are. Come on, baby, don't feel the reaper. Better take my hand, don't feel the reaper. I know that very often the slippery slope argument is not the strongest argument out there, but sometimes it's true. The reason it persists is because it so often proves true. And I can't think of anything slipperier than the euthanasia argument, the argument for a death with dignity, as it is euphemistically called. Here's one. The principle of euthanasia for children sounds shocking at first, but it's motivated by compassion and protection. That's a quote about a euthanasia bill aimed at kids in Belgium. Joining us to talk about it, Wesley Smith, a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute, author of the Human Exceptionalism column for National Review Online, and he's also written several books, including Forced Exit, Euthanasia Assisted Suicide, and The New Duty to Die. Wesley, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Good to be with you again. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, although this is shocking. Although John Harris, the professor of bioethics at the University of Manchester, says I shouldn't be shocked. He says the principle of euthanasia for children sounds shocking at first, but it's motivated by compassion and protection. What's your reaction to that?
Boy, that sure countenances a lot of evil, doesn't it? What you're talking about is having children lethally injected by doctors because they're sick or because they're disabled. What you see in Belgium euthanasia law generally is a complete jump off a moral cliff. You have elderly couples being euthanized because they don't want to live apart. You have had a woman who was sexually assaulted by her psychiatrist and made distraught by that, euthanized by another psychiatrist because of what the first psychiatrist did. You've had a woman who had a botched sex change operation euthanized. You've had twins who were born deaf and were losing their vision euthanized. So if we're going to expand that to children, you can see where that can lead. You know, Dr. Harris is a utilitarian bioethicist. He has said that there are human beings who are not persons. He has said that there are human beings with less value than animals, and now apparently he's okay with turning pediatrics into the equivalent of veterinary medicine.
We'll take a break. We'll be back with Wesley Smith on the other side on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 5th, talking about a euthanasia bill for children in Belgium. More with Wesley right after this. Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Proper Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Proper Christum at shop.logia.org. Proper Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran Thought, Lutheran Substance, Lutheran Music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues, Etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues, Etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues, Etc. IssuesETC.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Make the tree good and its fruit good, Jesus says, for the tree is known by its fruit.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. James Buescher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Our Advent preaching workshop considers the image of the tree found in Matthew's Gospel. John the Baptist describes mankind as a fruitless tree, ready for the axe. Yet Jesus brings not an axe, but a cross. Instead of destroying the dead tree of our flesh, Christ comes to hang from its branches. Thus he makes the tree of death bear the fruit of everlasting life.
Dr. Buescher will be leading an Advent preaching workshop titled Making the Tree Good on Tuesday, November the 5th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information on Making the Tree Good, an Advent preaching workshop on November the 5th at Concordia Theological Seminary, visit ctsfw.edu or call 260-452-2224. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Wesley Smith is our guest. We're talking about a euthanasia bill for children in Belgium. A few more minutes with Wesley Smith. In the hour two of Issues, Etc., our pastor's roundtable will be in Matthew chapter 9, this little sandwich of miracles where Jesus restores a woman to life who has had a lifelong illness and a little girl to life who has died. Pastor Andy Asbury, Pastor Christopher Eskett will be our pastor's roundtable. Wesley, is Belgium typical of Northern European countries regarding this move to broaden the application of euthanasia?
I think that's a little broad. Germany, for example, is not going in that direction. But Belgium has jumped, legalized euthanasia in 2002, and it has jumped headfirst with great enthusiasm and a smile on its face. They have now also coupled euthanasia with organ harvesting in Belgium. It took 40 years for the Netherlands to get to about where Belgium is, and I haven't yet heard of coupling euthanasia and organ harvesting in the Netherlands, although it wouldn't surprise me. Belgium got there in 10, less than 10. Once you decide that killing is an acceptable answer to human suffering, then this idea of it being rare and this idea of it being limited to the terminally ill for whom nothing else can be done to alleviate pain just goes out the window. In the Netherlands, infanticide based on serious disability happens routinely. It's technically against the law, but it's so well accepted by at least the law enforcement that doctors who do it at the Groningen Medical Center publish something called the Groningen Protocol, which is a bureaucratic checklist to decide which babies to kill.
What it starts, at least we see it mostly here in the United States, it starts as the desperately ill, you just mentioned kind of the short list, the terminally ill, the desperately depressed, things like that, people who have lost hope. What's the difference? How does it travel from that, which some people might say, oh, well, I guess that's reasonable if you want to die, to people who can't legally give consent
well,
in other legal
also,
matters?
They're also at the same time they're doing it for, they're debating legalizing for children, they're debating legalizing for Alzheimer's patients. When you decide that suffering, an acceptable answer to suffering is to kill the sufferer, how do you limit it to the rare case, and even how do you limit it to choice? When you've turned killing into a medical act, for example, an appendectomy isn't limited to adults who can consent. Children can't consent, but their parents can. So we're now turning this into a situation where parents will be able to consent to have their children killed. And children will be asked to consent, too. Can you imagine an 8-year-old in a bed or a 12-year-old in a bed, and the mother comes in and says, honey, mommy wants to talk to you. You know how sick you are. Would you like the doctor to make you peacefully dead? I mean, how do you do that?
What you mentioned before that Germany has not gone this direction. And
not
I just
at
like...
all. In fact, quite the opposite. They push back against that agenda.
I mean,
they have a history, you know.
They're watching this happen all around them. Talk about that history and the way that it is in some way inoculated them against the madness of the rest of the Scandinavian countries.
Well, you know, a lot of people look at, for example, infanticide that occurred in Germany and think, oh, Nazis, we're not Nazis, so none of this matters. Well, but the infanticide really wasn't the Nazis. The infanticide was the doctors. No Nazis forced any doctor to kill any disabled baby during World War II. Doctors decided to do that themselves after about 20 years' worth of eugenics advocacy. Hitler said, yes, it can be done. He never forced them to do it. So you had doctors basically, as part of the Holocaust, murdering disabled babies even after World War II was over. Until it was eventually stopped shortly thereafter. But again, when you decide that killing is an acceptable answer to human suffering, and when you decide that there's something called a quality of life ethic that says that people with a lower capacity have a lower value, the door is wide open to that. And that's exactly what we see today. Dr. Harris from England believes that a human being with a lower capacity has a lower value than a human being with a higher capacity. He calls it being a non-person. We've talked about this on your show before. He says that killing babies and killing non-persons is okay, as defined by, for example, the inability to value one's own life. This kind of thinking is permeating bioethics. It's not unanimous, of course, but it is very mainstream in bioethics. And I'm worried that it begins to enter into the healthcare system itself.
Part of the logic here, and this is oddly reflected by Penny Lewis, who's a professor and medical law expert at King's College London, says that if you don't let people make decisions that will be respected in the future, including euthanasia, what you do is encourage people to take their own life while they have the capacity or to seek euthanasia much earlier.
You know, I'm really getting tired of hearing that. This acts like suicide is a necessity. There are people who unfortunately come down, obviously, with something like Alzheimer's disease and are not suffering. But, of course, when they knew they might get into that condition, and my uncle died of that disease, so I know what it is. There are people who are, of course, very afraid. You now have, Todd, a lawsuit that has been filed in British Columbia of a woman who wrote that she would not want to be kept alive with Alzheimer's disease. She's not being kept alive by what you would think of as, you know, extraordinary measures, being hooked up to machines and stuff. She is being spoon-fed. And the family has filed a lawsuit against and the woman is taking food and water willingly. And a lawsuit has been filed against the nursing home that seeks to require them to starve her to death because she wrote in an advance directive she wouldn't want to be kept alive. Since when is giving somebody spoon? We're not talking about a feeding tube. We're talking about spoon feeding, giving somebody dinner, giving somebody breakfast and lunch, giving them a glass of orange juice to sip is now deemed, according to this lawsuit, to be against integrity, against autonomy, and denying, quote, death with dignity. We are turning starvation to death into death with dignity. It is unbelievable. It's happening before our very eyes. And frankly, anybody who says, oh, it can't happen here, has been asleep for 50 years and hasn't watched how things have changed over the last 50 years.
What boundary, if any, has been crossed in this proposed law in Belgium?
Well, the do-no-harm boundary. You're killing children. We have the whole euthanasia movement violates what was used to be a practically universal oath taken by doctors, the Hippocratic Oath. The Hippocratic Oath prevents doctors from becoming killers. It prevents and prohibits assisted suicide. 60 years ago, it would have been deemed the worst crime imaginable for a doctor to kill a patient. And now we are being told that doctors who want to provide Hippocratic medical care are denying autonomy, are denying death with dignity, and this kind of thing. It is an astonishing thing to consider that doctors who were hanged for the healing treatment, which is what euthanasia of disabled babies was called in Germany, a healing treatment. It was deemed best for the babies. It wasn't an act of hatred in that sense. It was deemed an elimination of suffering. Doctors were hanged at Nuremberg for that. And now that's going to become regular medical practice. If doctors cease to be healers, I mean, how do you trust a doctor if killing becomes an act of medicine? It's turning healthcare on its head. And don't think it won't be about containing costs, because the people they're talking about killing are also the most expensive for whom to care.
With only 30 seconds here, Wesley, you say that once, and you've said this before here in our conversation, once killing is accepted as an answer to human suffering, you say the power of sheer logic dictates that there is no bottom. What do you mean by that, finally?
Well, because you've shifted your thinking 180 degrees, and the sanctity of life, the equality of human life, ceases to matter. What matters is quality, and what matters is eliminating suffering. And that morphs very quickly into eliminating the sufferer. And who is anybody to say, according to this view, that what level of suffering or what cause of suffering makes one killable and what cause of suffering makes one non-killable? There is no end to the causes of human suffering that can be conjured when thinking about this. And as we've described already in this conversation, in Belgium, mental illness, sexual assault, disability, these have all become grounds for killing. And based on what we're putting people out of their suffering, that leads to a situation where there is no place where it can possibly end, because virtually anything can be a cause of suffering. And that leads to basically death on demand for anything but the most transitory desires to die. How does it not? How do you create a hard and fast boundary that can't be crossed? It hasn't happened yet.
Wesley Smith is senior fellow at the Discovery Institute. He's author of the Human Exceptionalism column for National Review Online. He's also written several books, including Forced Exit, Euthanasia, Assisted Suicide, and The New Duty to Die. You can also read his column at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Wesley, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
When we come back to round off this first hour of Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 5th, we're going to be talking about ENDA. It's the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. That sounds great, doesn't it? We don't want any discrimination in the workplace. Is there something about this we need to know? Failed the last time it went through the Senate by just one vote, and it really passed well yesterday. We'll talk about it with Ryan Anderson of the Heritage Foundation right after this.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century, was known for boldly confessing Jesus Christ as both true God and true man. This is what we do at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C. continuing this historic confession of our Savior, who died for us and now comes to us in word and sacrament. If you live in the D.C. area or just visiting, come join us. For more information, find us on the web, St. Athanasius Lutheran Church.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues, Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues, Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues, Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues, Etc. 300.